Well, thank you so much for praying for me. Missed last week because I was sick. My wife and I came home from the Philippines, and the next day I wasn't feeling very well, and I asked Jeff if he could cover for me. He said yes, and then Sunday it was very bad. Nice to be back here. Today we're in a series we started 2 weeks ago, part one, looking at the Song of Solomon, and that is one of the books in the Bible. Is called a book of wisdom. It's one of the wisdom books in the scriptures, and it talks about romance, because romance sometimes is a hard thing to find. I want to try and watch this video here. It's a minute and 45 second video. I want to frame it first. In the video, you have Melman, who's a giraffe. He's secretly in love with Gloria, a hippo, and she does not know this. And romance is hard to find. Watch the video. Where were we? Oh, I'm huge. Yeah. Romance is hard to find. And God thinks romance is so important that he puts the entire book in the Bible talking about romance between a man and a woman. And it has for us to discover afresh the joys of romance that honors the Lord. 2 weeks ago, we looked at chapters 1 and 2. Today, I'm looking at chapters 3 and 4 in the book Song of Solomon. When it comes to looking for romance, at times, number one, you must be patient with your lover. You must be patient with your lover. In Song 3, verse 1, 3 says, "By night on my bed, I sought the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find him. I will now arise," I said, "and go about the city, in the streets and in the squares. I will seek the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find him. The watchmen who go about the city found me and said, and I said, 'Have you seen the one I love?'" Here's the Shulamite, the bride, who wakes up. Her man is not there, and she is frantic. She goes out and tries to find him. And it says here that she says, "I will seek the one I love." And she asks the watchman, "Have you seen the one I love?" This is very different than when the wife says, "Where is he?" Big difference, right? Tone of voice, big difference. Big difference tone of voice here. One is, "Where is he?" And the other one is, "Where is he?" No, this is love. She is passionate about finding her man. Next verse says, "Scarcely had I passed by when I found the one I love. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into the house of my mother and to the chamber of her who conceived me." Why was she in so much of a frantic? Why was she so frantic? Why was she so insecure that she would get up in the middle of the night and run around and try to find him? The song does not tell us why, but I think the next verse gives us an understanding of her heart. The very next verse reads, Song 3, verse 5 says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the does of the field, do not stir up love, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. That phrase, do not stir up love nor awaken it until it pleases, that is mentioned three times in the Song of Solomon. This is something that's repeated again and again for us to understand and to value. Notice here it says, do not stir up nor awaken love until love pleases. Until it pleases. When it comes to understanding romance, she wanted intimacy, and not physical intimacy. She wanted romance with her man. She wanted to feel safe again with them. And when it comes to romance, we're not to rush romance. Men, we're not to rush romance. We're supposed to enjoy it, elongate it. And it's I find a fascinating book by to support this is a book by Willard Harley. And it's book His Needs, Her Needs, published, I think it's Focused by the Family back in the 80s. He interviewed a thousand people, men and women, trying to understand what are the basic needs between men and women. Now, besides someone being morally upright, you know, they tell the truth, they're not going to cheat, they're going to be nice. Besides a morally right, upright person, what are the needs that men have that differ from the needs that women have? And for men, the number one need is, I'm kind of ashamed about this, but men, it's what I call the physical. Now, Willard Harley gives several wants, and I kind of condensed them to top three here. But the physical here means not just physical intimacy, but it's also how she looks and snuggling with her and this kind of stuff. It's kind of shallow, I know, I agree. But now for women, it's a little bit different. Now, what do you think it might be for women? What's the number one need that women might have in a relationship besides someone who's morally upright? Why don't you turn to a friend and ask your friend what that might be? Go ahead, just quickly. Now, you're going to be surprised because most people do not get this. I do not get this. And when I talk to women, they all agree this is correct. Well, the vast majority do. And that is affection. Now, affection is defined as little note cards saying how much I love you. It's a flower. It's opening the door for her. It's giving her the bigger half of the umbrella when it's raining. It's the little things that we do to say to our woman, you are special. I treasure you. And this stuff's liquid gold, men. This is where it all happens right here. This is great. And we're gonna come back to this a little bit later in the sermon. But affection, this is great stuff. Now, number two for men, the biggest needs men have for number two is a best friend. That is something to do someone with. Men like to do things. And they like to go somewhere, or they want to go to, like in Hawaii, we go to the beach, or we'll go to the mountains. You want to go do something, and you want someone to go with you, a friend. That's true for most guys. For women, what do you think it is for women? Why don't you turn to your friend and say, what's the number two need that most women have?
Open the house, yeah.
Yeah, it's I don't know, right? I don't know. Well, this would he found to be true. He said, this is talking. No silent types. Yeah, I heard a laugh over here. No silent types. Women want their man to talk. When they come home from work, they're going to want to talk about it. They have all these words just waiting to come out from them. And this is valuable. This is, men understand this about most women. This is not true for 100% of women. That's fine. But for most, the number one, and number two is affection and talking. For number three, for men, it's the home, how the home looks. This is true for me, by the way, because I can't work on a sermon unless the house is reasonably kept. And actually, I do most of the cleaning, so anyways, my wife loves that. For number three, for the women, yes, women can be shallow too. It is money. I know, see, women, they can be shallow too. But the take home from this is affection and talking, and to use these to nurture the love and admiration you have with your wife, or if you're dating your girlfriend, she'll love that. But the Lord, he brought this truth of the importance of romance to light in the scriptures by putting it in an entire book in the wisdom literature in the Bible that underscores the importance of romance, the Song of Solomon. Because God also wants to understand that we are also married to someone else, not just our spouse, but we're also married to him in the heavenlies. We mentioned this 2 weeks ago in part one. I want to mention these three verses again. Isaiah 54, verse 5. This is crazy. It says, "For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth he is called." The scriptures just said right there, your maker is your husband. That's profound. Hosea 2, verse 19. "And I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and in mercy." Here is God Almighty talking to the nation of Israel, saying, "I'm going to betroth you unto me." In Jeremiah 31, 32, it reads, "Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord." When God was bringing the nation of Israel out of bondage from Egypt, he married himself to the nation of Israel. God Almighty, he's not just the maker, our maker, our savior, our best friend in Jesus, but he's also spiritually our husband. And God wants us to know that as a man loves his wife, and his wife responds and loves to her man, so this is true with God in heaven. We are to also have a divine romance with our Creator. And at times, it's difficult. At times, God doesn't feel real close. Are there times when you feel distant from God? Sure, we all do. For me, when I feel distant from God, and I'm reading the Bible, I'm praying, I'm kind of trying to be close to Him. What do I do then? I fast. I'll fast for two meals. And I'll say, "Lord, I want to be near you. I don't feel you near me. I want you near me, Lord." And every time my stomach growls, that whole day, typically I fast in the morning and at lunch, and I'll eat dinner. And I'm just crying out saying, "God, no, I'm hungry, but I don't care. I want you." And it says here in James 4, verse 8, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." And I think as you spend time seeking his face and say, "God, no, I want to know you as my Savior, but also as my husband," he will honor that prayer request, and he will reveal himself more to you. Though sometimes romance is hard to find. But be patient with your lover. Number two, be proud of your man. Be proud of your man. Psalm 3, verse 6-8 reads, this is the Shulamite speaking. She says, "Who is this coming out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the merchant's fragrant powders? Behold, Solomon's couch with 60 valiant men all around it, with all the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, bearing, being expert in war. Every man has a sword on his thigh because of fear in the night." Here's a Shulamite looking at her husband coming with 60 valiant men around this, around his well, it's a palanquin. It's a, the Hebrew word is the apeirion. The apeirion appears once in the scripture, so not too sure exactly what it is. They think it's a couch on big poles, and the poles you put on people's shoulders, and they kind of carry Solomon in. And here he is. He's coming in like a Rolls Royce motorcade. I mean, he's just, I mean, this is it. And she's like, "Everyone, check this out." She calls in the verse 10 and 11. Listen to this. Psalm 3, verse 10 and 11. "By the daughters of Jerusalem, go forth, O daughters of Zion, and see King Solomon with the crown." Notice how proud she is of her man. And she wants everyone to appreciate how wonderful he is. This is not like, you know, look at my husband in a wrong way. This is look at my husband because I'm so proud of him. And women, be proud of your man. Be proud of your man. And I know there's sometimes in relationships, and it eventually will happen where things, you know, there's problems in a marriage, this kind of stuff. Still yet, be proud of your man. And tell him that. Tell him, "I'm so proud of you." And when he asks, "Well, what are you proud for?" "Oh, you better be like, have something in, you know, for an answer." You know what I'm saying? Now, if you said, I don't know, that's not going to work. You have to give your answer beforehand and respect him this way. He'll admire this. He'll love this. Be pleased with your man, woman. And as you move on here, women, it's your turn. Men, adore your wife. Men, adore your wife. This is, I think, one of my favorite chapters. This is certainly my favorite chapter in the Song of Solomon. This is just wonderful. Listen to how Solomon talks about his wife. He says, "Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Mount Gilead. Your teeth is like a flock of shorn sheep which have come up from the washing. Your lips are like a strand of scarlet, and your mouth is lovely." That's pretty good stuff. Like, your eyes are like dove eyes. You know, they're beautiful. They're bright-eyed, and they taper back, right? Doves also have their tunnel vision, and they don't see around the sides. And that they're just, they lock in on what they're looking at. This letter says, "Until the day breaks the way, I will go my way to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense." The hill of Frank from morning, beauteous wife. Cleaning the toilet bowl, she may not be pretty. She's sweating, her hair's back. And at that point, just say, "You look so beautiful." And just always tell your wife how beautiful she looks. I don't think she'll get tired of hearing that. I hear an amen. And I think that, you know, this is not to say that all day long we talk in poetic language to our spouse. That's not reasonable to assume. I said this 2 weeks ago. We don't say, "Oh, dearest, most loveliest woman in the whole world, please pass me the salt." You know, that gets weird at dinner table. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you're like, "I'm cleaning the bath. I'm doing laundry. Hold on." You know, like we have regular conversations, and that's true, and that's good, and that's right. But then there are also times we do use tender words. And we are a little bit flowery with our language. And women, they love it. They do. They love it. This is also true with our relationship with God in heaven. You know, there are plenty of Psalms and scriptures where David is griping before God. It doesn't mean that all day long we're supposed to only use flowery language with God. There are plenty of times when David is just giving it to God about how frustrated he is or how scared he is or whatever it is. We can be honest for a holy God. But there's also times in the day which we are also to be careful with our words, slow down a little bit, and tell the Lord how much we love him. Continuing in chapter 4, verse 7 through 9, King Solomon says, "You are all fair, my love, and there is not a spot in you. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon, look from the top of Amana, from the top of Sneer and Hermon, from the lion's dens, and from the mountains of the leopards. You have ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. You have ravished my heart with one look of your eyes." Well, that's actually good stuff there. He calls his wife to come from the mountains of Hermon and Sneer and Amana. And biblical scholars don't know where Amana is, but Sneer and Hermon are in Lebanon. He says, "Hey, come with me from the mountains of Lebanon, where there's lions and leopards. Now come with me." And he tells why. And I love this verse. My favorite verse in the whole psalm. It says, "You have ravished my heart, my sister and my spouse. You have ravished my heart with one look of your eyes." Have you had that kind of look before, men, from your spouse, from your wife? That's a good look. Now, I'm not talking about the look that the wife sometimes gives to a man when, you know, when she gives him like the look. You know, she's really annoyed and she's like, and you're going, like you just did something wrong. And she gives you the look. Not that kind of look. The other kind of look that she gives to you sometimes. And that's the look of she looks great. And she's looking at me and wow, that kind of look. I remember when my wife and I got married, 6 months later, we went to another wedding, her friend's wedding, and we're dancing, and we both like dancing, and we're dancing on the floor, having a great time. And it kind of died down a little bit. Cool off, whatever it is, and her friend came up, and I forget the guy's name, Joe, whatever it is, and he's like, "Hey, Tyler." She goes, "Oh, hey, Joe, how's it going?" You know, good. Tyler and Joe are good friends, like friend in college. And I go, "Oh, la 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 la." And he says, "You know what? When I marry a woman, I want her to look at me like the way you looked at Doug, because you know that look. That's the look every man wants from his woman. Oh, that is the truth." Oh, that's the truth. And that's the look every woman wants to give to her man. That is how God has designed it. And it's beautiful. And it's God-honoring. And, you know, it's like the first date I went on with Tyler, it was, the church we were at had a big conference. And at the Friday night, at the end of the whole week of speaking, it had a big crescendo kind of service, and there's a big party afterwards for singles at such house, and we're all invited, and I turned to Tyler and said, "Hey, do you want to go to this big party? Well, we'll just take one car." She goes, "Okay." So we jumped the car, we got lost, went to a hotel lobby. We didn't go to a hotel room, a hotel lobby. There was jazz music playing at the bar at the hotel. We stayed in the lobby and drank Coca-Colas and had a great time. But we were dressed in blue jeans and a t-shirt. It was like, you know, and I said to her, "Hey, like, what are you doing like tomorrow night?" She said, "Nothing." "Hey, do you want to go out?" She goes, "Okay." And so the next night was the night when we actually dressed up. We actually tried to look nice. So I wore, of course, blue jeans and a t-shirt, you know, as a guy, yeah. I forget what I wore, but I remember what she wore. She looked good. And it wasn't slinky. It wasn't like that. She was dressed modestly, but it was, I still remember what she wore. She looked beautiful. I was like, "Oh, well, hold on here. Game changer. This is like a real thing here. Wow." She dressed to impress. And for ladies, especially ladies who are singles, when you're going on a date, dress to impress, not to undress. You dress to impress. And that's not wrong. You dress in a way that honors the Lord, but look good, look pretty. That's actually good. That's healthy. That's part of romance. And romance is not wrong. Romance is good. It's in the scriptures. You know, it's funny. I can't help but thinking, you know, here's King Solomon in one of the wisdom books in the scriptures, talking about his wife, how she ravished him with just one glance. Oh, that's good. How about us with our spiritual husband in heaven? How about us with God Almighty? Do we glance at him with that love? Do we give him that eye of romance, of our heart yearning to give him all of our love and all of our joy, all of our smiles? Do we step out and say, Lord, I want to romance you? Do you think the Lord would want to pay attention to you? Some of us think we're so sinful and horrible before God that he wouldn't really want to take notice of us. But scripturally, that's not true. We're called the bride of Christ. God can marry anybody he wants. He marries the bride of Christ. He marries believers in Jesus Christ. He cleanses us by the Holy Spirit. We are beautiful in his sight. Beautiful in his sight. And yes, I dare say he is ravished even by your looks and by your glance. And in this series, looking at romance between a man and wife, also remember the Lord wants to have a romance with you because he's ravished by your looks, by your glance. And I encourage you this week to look at the lover of my soul and say, oh, lover of my soul, I love you. In the song, it continues with Solomon giving praise to his wife. It says, how fair is your love, my sister, my spouse? How much better than wine is your love, and the scent of your perfumes than all spices. Your lips, O my spouse, drip as with honeycomb. Your plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, fragrant henna and spikenard. Spikenard and saffron and calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh, and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fount of gardens, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. He lays it on how beautiful his wife is, and he's saying these things to her. And that's all of chapter 4, is 16 verses. 15 verses is King Solomon pouring out how beautiful his wife is. And the last verse is how she responds to this. And she responds with giving her full embrace. She's fully vulnerable and devoted to her man. Psalm 4, verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come, O south, blow upon my garden, that its spices may flow out. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat its pleasant fruits. She is just saying, I give all myself to you, my love. I give all myself to you. And this is a beautiful interchange between a man and a woman in the scriptures, talking about the beauty of romance, how it needs to go back and forth and takes time to develop and nurture and to enjoy ravishing one another's hearts with glances. And that's good stuff. But I do want to give you one kind of little like side advice on all this is when romance gets to be hard, because sometimes romance is hard. Sometimes it's difficult. What do you do when there's a big argument? What do you do when there's like, when there's conflict in the relationship and there's like heavy conflict and you're going, oh, and you say, sorry. And then you're kind of like in this, like this in between zone, like if Tyler and myself were getting a big argument and she's mad at me and I'm mad at her. But then I look over and I said, wow, she is beautiful. And I go to her and I say, hey, honey, come here. What would she do? I mean, right? This is what she'd do, right? Out comes the frying pan, bang! You guys see Tangle, the movie, the cartoon Tangle? Yeah, you know, these are pretty good, right? Bang! I mean, every woman knows this. If you are in a big fight with your man and you say you're sorry, and all of a sudden he comes in because, oh, baby, come here. Wow, infuriating. I can't believe this guy. I mean, just what are you doing? Right? Like, no brain, right? No brain at all. But so what do you do? How do you kind of get back to romance? And so I was talking to the Lord about this, and I felt the Lord give me this bit of wisdom here. And I call this the romance pyramid, because romance is not built upon God. Every God-honored relationship is built upon God. It's got to be, or it's going to crack, and it's going to be messy, and it's not going to work. And romance is not necessarily built upon God right away. It is, but the level that's between that is friendship. And this is important to know, that when you're trying to get back to romance, because romance kind of is hard to find, sorry, you need to go back to friendship. Just be friends for a while. That is, my wife and I are in a big argument and we say sorry, because you got to apologize, you got to try to make amends, but then you have this weird like zone of like, am I safe? Is he or she gonna bite my head off? I mean, it's just, I mean, you have this weird like you don't know how to act, and at that point, focus on just being friends. Don't worry about romance. Just be friends. My wife, her love language is time. We talked about love languages 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to use that. So when she has to go to the store and I got some free time, I say, oh, can I go to the store with you? And she goes, she loves when I go to the store with her. She goes, okay. And so we're in the store, and I'm not like, you know, trying to, you know, hey, babe. No. Just be friends. Just be friends. And because you have been together for so long, you were friends when you were dating. You know what it's like to be friends. Being friends is not necessarily hard for you. Just be friends and just be nice. And men, I encourage you, take the lead and do what the Willard Harley book said, affection. Do affection for her at this point in friendship. That is, open the door for her. You're in the grocery store, pick out a flower and buy it for her. If she loves chocolate, buy her some chocolate. You know, do some things that will be kind, that shows you're special. And you're just being friends. You're not looking for it to go anywhere. It's just being friends. And as you enjoy love, as you enjoy romance, letting romance build as it will, not rushing it, you'll find you'll get back to romance pretty quickly, pretty easily. Does that sound good? Let's close the word of prayer. Lord, I want to say thank you so much that you are our divine romance. Lord, I thank you so much that Lord, there are times when you are ravished by one glance from our eyes. Lord, that you love us and you cherish us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're not just our maker, our savior, and our best friend, but you're also our spiritual husband. And I pray, God, that you would bless all this week, that we would look for ways to romance you in little ways. And some of the marriages here, Lord, we need romance more in our marriage. And so I ask that you'd help us to be affectionate and to build one another up, to appreciate the beauties and the wonders that you made in our spouse. I pray you bless our friendships to be easy this week and our romance to be beautiful. And these things, Lord, we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.